says, stay says you have to wear a mask.
Bye.
Wear a mask.
Bye.
Wear a mask.
I have a mask, but I have an anxiety attack in 2 minutes.
That's fine. So. Anxiety, just wear a mask.
I really will have that.
I seriously need an anti-masker to explain to me what freedoms exactly they're losing out on by places requesting a mask. Truly, because I'm not getting it.
Newsflash, anti-maskers expose their IQs as being lower than the age of Prince Andrew's preferred victims. Hashtag anti-masker, hashtag moron.
Hello, fellow mask haters. Just kidding, f*** you. Maybe if you wore a damn mask, my friend wouldn't be dying. You anti-vax, gun-wielding, Big Mac-eating, dumbass sack of s***. F*** you, your family, and f*** your bloodline. I hope you never reproduce. If you do, keep abortion in mind. I hope God smites you down and your dog gets a household that isn't full of dumbass motherfuckers like you. Your entire family is inbred. F*** you!
Well, guys, I hope you liked all of what I've just read out there. I found those on Twitter. They are genuine comments from people on Twitter going against people who don't wear a mask. That first one you heard was actually someone who'd got their mobile phone camera out, pointed it in this woman's face and demanded that they wear a mask. She said, no, it gives me mental anxiety or whatever. She might have been blagging. She might not have been, but it's not the right thing to do in a society to put your phone up in someone's face, start demanding they do something, and then to make yourself feel a little bit more self-righteous, banging it up on the internet and going, oh, look at these stupid anti-maskers. Oh, Twitter is a cesspit of complete morons. Anyway, the number of deaths registered in England and Wales in the week ending the 14th of August, week 33, was 9,392 deaths. In week 33, the number of deaths registered was 3.4% above the five-year average. This is the first time that deaths have been above the five-year average since the week ending 12th of June, week 24. This is the bit you guys want to listen to. The rise in deaths in week 33 compared to week 32 and the five-year average was not driven by the coronavirus, as deaths involving COVID-19 continue to decline. England and Wales experienced high temperatures during week 33, which may explain the overall rise in deaths. But you never know, it might have something to do with what we discussed in episode 2 and the 2.1 million people still waiting for cancer treatment and the NHS. But listen to this. Of the deaths registered in week 33, 139 mentioned novel coronavirus, the lowest number of deaths involving COVID-19 in the last 21 weeks, and an 8.6% decrease compared with week 32, which was 152 deaths, accounting for 1.5% of all deaths in England and Wales. So, we're talking about in week 33, 139 deaths mentioned novel coronavirus out of a total death for that week of 9,392. So less people are dying of coronavirus, but more people are dying overall. What are we doing to our country? What are we doing to our economy? What are we doing to the lives of our children? What are we doing to society, masking them all up like we are? What does that tell you about what happens when you stop society and withdraw healthcare, unless, of course, you only suffer from one thing? And we all know what that is. So then, wearing masks. Will it make the sad figure of 139 people dying become less next week? Or the week after that? Or the week after that? I don't think so. And in today's podcast, we're going to discuss why.
Yes, it's time to open all of your eyes. Maybe. Skip it above the baby. You've got to realise masks are shit and so is all of this. We're gonna go down to the pub and get on the piss. I'm also gonna give you a salubri kiss. And I'm gonna shake your hand and give it a nice little stroke.
Thanks for listening to Bedwetters Podcast. We are thinking of changing the name to our podcast to The No Masketeers, but it is a lot harder for people to type into search. If you've got any stories or any suggestions for what we should cover in this podcast, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at bedwetterspodcast@gmail.com. If you've got any stories of what it's like to go out and not wear a mask, or what it's like going shopping, or if you've been on holiday or anything like that, we'd love to hear from you. You never know, we might be able to add it to this podcast, or you never know, we could even give you a quick ring and do a quick interview over the phone. How cool would that be? Anyway, let's get on with today's podcast. Here we go. So I went and played golf yesterday with a load of mates. I think it was about 9-10 of us went out and played golf. And when I turned up to the clubhouse, there were signs saying, use this hand sanitizer, wait here to be seated. And I walked in to the clubhouse and this glum lady just went, you've got to sign this book. No hello or anything like that. She was behind a Perspex screen at the bar. And then she said, and you can't sit with all your friends because there's too many of you. You'll have to sit on another table. And to that, I actually said, by the way, I'm fine. Thank you very much. Anyway, we went and played a great round of golf. I actually scored 30 points playing off 24, which I was quite pleased with, especially since it was a really, really windy day and it was quite a exposed course as well. But anyway, we got back to the clubhouse and I hadn't actually paid my green fees because there was no one in the clubhouse before we went out. So I popped into the pro shop. Yet again, you're only allowed two people in at a time. We all piled in there because pretty much all of my mates were all like, this is an absolute load of madness. Let's just get on with our lives. So I walked in there and the lady was behind a Perspex screen. She had a mask on and she said to me straight away, you need to put a mask on. And I looked at her with the dead eyes of Ralph Fiennes when he plays the murdering Nazi Eamon Goth in the fantastic film Schindler's List.
You know, I look at you. I watch you. That's real control. Control is power. That's power.
And just said, I'm exempt. And she looked at me with a little bit of the eyebrows went up because obviously I couldn't see her mouth or anything like that. That's how I had to judge how she felt. And I think she was a bit annoyed, but I don't know. Anyway, she gave me a pen to sign everything that everyone else had used. So obviously they're not that worried, are they? What I wanted to do in this podcast was just bring to your attention a couple of studies that I found about the efficacy of face masks. One of those studies is one that I mentioned in the first podcast, the one in Denmark. And I just want to give you an outline for what they're doing there and hopefully when we might actually be able to see some results from it. I'm going to email the contact on there to say, when are you publishing your findings? Because it was 3 months now, pretty much, since they finished taking in all the readings. So let's pop over there and have a look at that now anyway. So you can find this on clinicaltrials.gov and the actual name of the study is Reduction in COVID-19 Infection Using Surgical Face Masks Outside of the Healthcare System, which is really important because of all the studies on the efficacy of face masks, all but two of them have been in a hospital environment, so in a healthcare setting. So this is a brief summary of the study description. The Danish health authorities recommended using facial masks in the healthcare system presumed or proven to be infected with the virus. However, the use of facial masks outside the healthcare system is not recommended by the Danish health authorities. Here, health authorities in other countries have different recommendations for the use of facial masks, namely our ridiculous country, where it's now turned most of the people who wear a face mask into some sort of Puritan warrior. So the study, there's an enrollment of 6,000 participants. The allocation is randomised. The participants recruited are people working outside of their home and who have not previously been infected with COVID-19 and who do not wear facial masks, e.g. healthcare personnel. They will be randomised for 1, normal behaviour according to the authorities' recommendations, or 2, normal behaviour according to the authorities' recommendations and use of facial masks. So the actual start date for this was April 2nd, 2020. And the primary completion date was June the 2nd, 2020. And the study completion date was the same date. So far, they've not published any findings. If you want, I'll try and leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can pop over there and have a look at all that yourself. There's loads more to look at. It'll be really, really interesting to see what they come up with when they finish their trial. Oh, a quick news bulletin for you. You're going to love this. This is from rfi.fr. No mask, no ride. Anti-mask passenger kicked off TGV in French countryside. The driver of a high-speed TGV has stopped his train and forced a man who refused to wear a mask to disembark in the middle of the French countryside. The passenger had already been asked by agents on board the Paris to Nice TGV to wear a mask, but he refused and was fined €135 on the spot. When the driver was informed, he brought the train to an unscheduled stop at Cressault-Montieu, oh man, I'm awful at French, station, central Burgundy, and left the man in the hands of the rail security agents. According to a rule established in 2016, the national SNCF train operator can force a passenger to disembark for disturbing the peace, even if they have a valid ticket. According to one of the passengers on board, the driver eventually made the announcement to explain why the train had to stop for 10 minutes in the middle of nowhere. One annoyed passenger took to social media to criticise the man. I'm going to try and do my French accent here. A man was kicked off the TGV Paris-Nice because he refused to wear a face mask, which created a delay for other passengers. Anti-maskers, you are going too far in your lack of respect. Let's protect each other. Bleh, sacre bleu. I'm probably going to get done for racism now. Is that racist? I don't know. I love the French. I love your accent. In recent weeks, tension has increased with regards to mask wearing in public spaces, notably in public transport, where it has been compulsory since lockdown ended on the 11th of May. I mean, that's when you bring it in, isn't it? Last week, a nurse was physically abused on a bus in a suburb north of Paris after she asked some young people to wear their masks. 2 weeks ago, in a different suburb of Paris, a young father was severely injured in an attack by several men armed with baseball bats, simply because he had argued with them over wearing a mask in a laundromat. I mean, I am anti-mask, but if you're going to go to that sort of extreme, it's just stupid. If you feel so strongly about not wearing a mask that you're going to beat someone up over it, then I really do think you should think twice about where you are. Also, I had the luck of being forwarded by a friend of mine an article published in the University of Oxford's website, ox.ac.uk. This was published on the 8th of July 2020. This is the headline: Oxford COVID-19 study, face masks and coverings work. Act now. Oh dear. Cloth face coverings, even homemade masks made of the correct material, were effective in reducing the spread of COVID-19 for the wearer and those around them, according to a new study from Oxford's Level Hume Centre for Demographic Science. They go on to pick bits out of the study that they liked, but they obviously don't expect you to actually click on the link and find the study itself. Thankfully, I've done that for you guys. What appears to have happened is the Royal Society have got together four studies from around the world, one in 2012, one in 2009, one in 2003 and one in 2004. These were held in Beijing, Hong Kong and Guangdong. And at the top of it, their data looks quite compelling. Even though their sample sizes were 56 people, 477 people, 111 people, or a Nelson as it's known in cricket, and 2013 and 55 people in the A and B study of the 2004 Guangdong trial. Unfortunately, the Royal Society decided it was a good idea to tuck away the paragraph whereby they threw out all of those trials because they lacked a no mask control group and compared only medical versus cloth masks. They also didn't account for hand washing and the transmission of the virus via the eyes. And obviously, because of when it was, they weren't also doing a coronavirus thing. Moving on, I've got some great news from Australia. GPs can legally prescribe ivermectin triple therapy protocol. This has been exemplified by Professor Thomas Borody. If you guys know anything more about this guy, I'd love to hear a little bit more about it. I want to hear his background. It's quite difficult to find loads about him. I have seen some really good interviews with him on Australia's Sky News. But let's pick up on the story. This is from August the 19th, 2020. The Centre for Digestive Diseases issued today a press release entitled Ivermectin Triple Therapy Protocol for COVID-19 released to Australian GPs for infected elderly and frontline workers. Triple therapy specialist Professor Thomas Borody, famous for curing peptic ulcers using a triple antibiotic therapy saving millions of lives, today released the COVID-19 treatment protocol to Australian GPs who can legally prescribe it to their COVID-19 positive patients. They can also prescribe it as a preventative medication. Borody says, "This could be the fastest and safest way to end the pandemic in Australia within 6 to 8 weeks. And Australia is the country that, since the pandemic started, has had a death rate of 525 people altogether. Obviously, that's very sad, but probably not enough to close down your whole economy. Goes on to say, the government could end the pandemic by openly encouraging GPs to prescribe these TGA-approved medications. Those who test positive are identified in contact tracing, as well as those in high-risk groups like the elderly and healthcare workers can have access to the therapy quickly. Ivermectin was discovered in the 1970s and is on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicine. Professor Borody goes on to say, there is mounting worldwide clinical literature pointed to 100% cure rate using ivermectin triple therapy. Well, that is pretty good news.
Well done, Cobber. I do try to do myself a reasonably good Australian. I could have done that in Australia, actually.
Anyway, after the break, I'm going to draw your attention to this very interesting mask study.
Coming this winter to a society near you. Produced by mass testing studios and unreliable PCR tests. Starring Boris Johnson, Uncle Joel Nicola Sturgeon, Sage and the Teaching Unions. Coronavirus, the second wave.
The deaths in this film probably won't be caused by coronavirus, because we all know the second wave will probably come through when cancelled cancer appointments and other diseases that have been ignored by the NHS since March start coming in. But remember, wear your mask like a sheep, believe everything that the mainstream media tell you, and do absolutely no research into the headlines that they spew out on a daily basis.
So to finish off today, let's have a little look at this lovely pandemic, influenza and non-healthcare setting personal protective environmental measures study that was produced by the Centre for Disease Control and Prevention on the 5th of May 2020. What I want to draw your attention to is the discussion at the end of this review. So let me just read out a couple of paragraphs on that you might find interesting. In this review, we did not find evidence to support a protective effect of personal protective measures or environmental measures in reducing influenza transmission. Although these measures have mechanistic support based on our knowledge of how influenza is transmitted from person to person, randomized trials of hand hygiene and face masks have not demonstrated protection against laboratory confirmed influenza, with one exception. We did not find evidence that surgical type face masks are effective in reducing laboratory confirmed influenza transmissions, either when worn by infected persons, source control, or by persons in the general community to reduce their susceptibility. However, as the hand hygiene face mask might be able to reduce the transmission of other infections and therefore have a value in an influenza pandemic when healthcare resources are stretched. I imagine they mean things like gastrointestinal diseases, getting a tummy bug, things like that might put extra strain on a health service. Because remember, guys, we're now alive to protect the NHS, not the other way round. In pooled analysis, we found no significant reduction in influenza transmission with the use of face masks. One study evaluated the use of masks among pilgrims from Australia during the Hajj pilgrimage and reported no major difference in the risk of laboratory-confirmed influenza virus infection in the control or mask group. Two studies in university settings assessed the effectiveness of face masks for primary protection by monitoring the incidence of laboratory-confirmed influenza among student hall residents for 5 months. The overall reduction in ILI, or laboratory-confirmed influenza cases, in the face mask group was not significant in either studies. Study designs on the seven household studies were slightly different. One study produced face masks and P2 respirators for household contacts only. Another study evaluated face masks used as a source control for infected persons only. And the remaining studies provided masks for the infected persons as well as their close contacts. None of the household studies reported a significant reduction in secondary laboratory confirmed influenza virus infections in the face mask group. And get this, guys, that was a hell of a sentence, by the way, wasn't it? Some studies also reported suboptimal adherence in the face mask group. If you read between the lines there, it meant that the people, even though they were on a knowing study about the efficacy of face masks, probably couldn't wear them for the full amount of time anyway, probably kept adjusting them, touching them. Doesn't that ruin the whole point of wearing face masks in the first place? I don't know, you tell me. They go on to say disposable medical face masks, also known as surgical masks, are loose-fitting devices that were designed to be worn by medical personnel to protect accidental contamination of patient wounds and to protect the wearer against splashes of sprays or bodily fluids. There is limited evidence for their effectiveness in preventing influenza virus transmission, either when worn by the infected person for source control or when worn by uninfected persons to reduce exposure. Our systematic review found no significant effect of face masks on transmissions of laboratory confirmed influenza. We do not consider the use of respirators in the community. Respirators are tight-fitting masks that can protect the wearer from fine particles and should provide better protection against influenza virus exposures when properly worn because of their higher filtration efficiency. However, respirators such as the N95 and P2 masks work best when they are fit tested, and these masks will be in limited supply during the next pandemic. So what we're saying is this. They have to fit tightly. They actually have to be professionally fitted. So you going out with your bandana around your mouth or your little cloth surgical mask that you think's protecting everyone else and are actually designed to stop you drooling into someone's open wound when you're performing open heart surgery. You know, these things are never going to help. I mean, that's just what I want to leave you guys with. If you want to find that study, it's on www.nc.cdc.gov. So guys, I know it's been a bit information heavy today, but just remember, it's not so bad, is it? I mean, every death is a tragedy, but currently in our society, only 1.5% of all the deaths occurring are due to coronavirus. Is it really worth us closing our economy, forcing our whole population to wear masks, forcing children to wear masks, and forcing people to stand 2 meters away from each other and look at each other as if they're a biological weapon? To ban singing? To ban the playing of music in bars and pubs like they're doing in Scotland? Is it really worth all that? Remember, you can email us your stories. I'd love to hear your stories about how you've been getting on through this pandemic. Also, if you've got any suggestions or news articles you think we should look up, please email us them as well. You can get hold of us at bedwetterspodcast@gmail.com.
Anyway, guys, I'll see you in the next podcast.